Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.
And Elizabeth Wallace. And special guest.
Hello, it's Hannah.
Yay! And you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 426. And as you can tell, this is another travel edition. Catherine and Hannah and the family are in the wilds of Gatlinburg.
Yes, woo! And we saw a bear today. It was exciting.
A black bear, to clarify, in case you thought it was a grizzly bear.
I did think it was a grizzly bear. For some reason, I don't know what... We've talked about this before. I don't know what bears are in one area of the country, but grizzly bears scare the crap out of me. So I'm glad it was not that.
Yeah, there was that whole joke about, you know, if you see a bear in the woods and you want to know whether it's a brown bear or a grizzly bear, you climb up a tree. If it's a brown bear, it climbs up after you. If it's a grizzly, it knocks the tree down.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So this is not a placeholder episode because we don't do those. It's just a quick touch base to talk about what we've been watching. Now, I believe you guys just got finished watching the second to last episode of the final season of The Crown.
Yeah, it was, the Queen Mother passing away. And Imelda Staunton has just been knocking it out of the park. I mean, spoilers, when Princess Margaret passed away, there was a moment when Queen Elizabeth had been visiting her in the, you know, obviously, you know, her sister's near death door or whatever, and Queen Elizabeth is trying to keep her spirits up, and she walks out of the room and she turns back to look at her sister, and just this absolutely stricken look on her face of somebody who can't say out loud how awful she's feeling or how scared she is. It's just, oh my God, I just could feel it in my throat. Oh.
It's such an opportunity for people to be subtle film actors in the first place. Like, you have to, usually as a film actor, you should be pretty subtle.
Yeah.
But to play the queen and to do something really emotional, it's like, well, you have to be very still and very stoic and just let that emotion kind of peek through, and even the littlest bit will have the biggest impact.
And it's especially even more impressive considering that Imelda Staunton's other most famous role was a bad guy in the Harry Potter movies, and I'm just so glad that she's able to be Queen Elizabeth instead. I think that's a much better thing for her resume.
Seriously.
But that Princess Margaret episode, which we watched last night, is really the peak of that whole last season, of course.
Yeah, it is. It just broke your heart, everything that happened in there. And I don't know, did you guys know anything about her story? I deliberately, of course, as this was going on, I didn't Google her until long after the series had ended because I didn't want to be spoiled. I know it's history, but I'm not familiar with history.
Exactly.
Did you guys know a lot of her story before the show?
No? I didn't. I think I knew... No, I didn't really. I think maybe I knew a little bit that she was a drinker. Maybe I heard that on No Such Thing as a Fish, I think, that she would drink. And I think it was, who's the famous president? He actually appears in the series.
Oh,
Kennedy?
Kennedy.
No. I mean, I guess all the presidents are famous, so that doesn't help.
No, true.
The one who had a famously endowed situation.
Oh, Johnson?
Yeah. Are you just stereotyping the name? It might have been Johnson. No, I don't know.
LBJ.
LBJ, yes. I think it was LBJ. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
About her dancing
with him.
That's
so weird. I was like, there was a president that had those rumors about them? I hadn't heard about that. That's weird.
LBJ was like crass personified, I think. So yes. Nothing about that I hear about him surprises me after some of the stories we've been told.
And certainly, I think on No Such Thing as a Fish specifically, that there were stories about her telling him rude limericks and they got along very well.
That's funny. So what have you been watching?
Well, I know I talked to you about this, Catherine, but I hadn't mentioned it to Hannah. So I did finish finally watching the entire first season of Chaos, K-A-O-S.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really intense and it's very, very good. And I really, really like it. Can I spoil one major plot point for you guys?
Yes, sure.
Don't get attached to the kitten.
Oh, no!
Yeah, I know. And I know that now you're going to spend the entire season, because it takes a while for it to happen, and it's kind of like John Wick, where you don't see it happening exactly, so don't worry about that. I know you're going to spend the whole season wondering when it's going to happen. I spent the whole season wondering if it was going to happen. I kind of wish I had known ahead of time, because it's a really cute kitten, too.
Oh, so, yeah. Why would you make that decision as a storyteller?
I think they really wanted to tell you what this particular character's personality was like, but I think you could have figured that out without that thing. It is, boy, it's really good. And if you know anything about Greek mythology, the way they're playing around with the myths is very, very clever, extremely well written, very well acted. Jeff Goldblum is playing Zeus, and he is an asshole.
Yes.
God. Wow. He's doing a good job. Very, very good job.
Well, yeah, I think you guys were more into mythology stuff you know, when we were all younger than I was. Mm-hmm. And so I just read the Circe book, and I know that Catherine had just read it. So that was really my first foray into the adaptation of mythology into kind of a modern story, which was fun and I think compelling. And I think sometimes the myths aren't compelling when you hear about them as kids because they feel like, you know, the stories of gods. They're kind of, I mean, they're biblical almost literally.
I'm almost positive it was the Dallaire's Book of Greek Myths, the fully illustrated one that got us into that. And Edith Hamilton's Greek mythology, too, because it was like,
yes,
I've read some scholarly summaries of some of the Greek myths and I can't get into it. But I mean, both of those books know how to tell a story.
Yeah. But I think the reason why the show works is if you do know all the myths, I think you get like this little added level of being like, oh, I see how they're adapting this and adapting that.
Yeah.
But I think it works even if you're not familiar with Greek mythology. It's just a good and interesting story.
Oh, it totally should. It should be like, like any of the classic, what do they call them? Just the stories that can be told and retold in different ways that are compelling.
Yeah. And it's very, very good. I'm enjoying. And it's also, it's not just one season. It will continue into another season.
Oh,
or
good.
Better. We'll say that right now. I heard it was set up to go
into a second season. So.
I didn't know that. I went to it pretty cold other than knowing that Jeff Goldblum was in it. So and it's good.
Well, another thing we watched while we're here is Hannah introduced us to the first episode of the Time Bandits TV series.
Oh, that's right. How was that?
I'm really enjoying it. Now, all of the major beats from the movie are still there. You've got a little boy who has parents. They're not as awful in the TV show as they were in the original movie. They just don't really understand their son, and they're kind of shallow, and they want their son to stop being so obsessed with history because they totally can't sympathize with any of his interests. But you know, the little boy is so into history and he doesn't understand that nobody else is. So he's kind of like this, you know, picked last in playing rugby and sits by himself reading stuff and telling himself stories and like playing board games with himself, basically. But then the Time Bandits come in and he accidentally gets swept along in their adventure. And I think the most delightful thing about the series is Lisa Kudrow is one of the bandits.
She's the leader. I mean, they don't really have a typical leader structure, but
she keeps explaining that she's not in charge, but yet she's the person who's calling all the shots.
Sure.
And she's got that combination of like total confidence and paranoia that nobody thinks is going to think that she's as good as she thinks she is. So it's really, it's fun. I think I'm going to enjoy watching this. It's on Apple Plus.
And we should say that's a Taika Waititi produced series.
Of course.
And I would have never thought that his style, which I kind of, it's hit or miss for me when it comes to his movies, and I haven't watched a lot of his TV shows. I think he produced Reservation Dogs, which I enjoyed, but it's all they're I don't know. I'm struggling not to say the word amateurish, but there's something about the style that seems like very like fun loving in a way where I'm like, oh, I wish you would take this more seriously or something. But I never realized how much his style would line up with Terry Gilliam, who, of course, created the original. And it really fits well. Plus, the series is so much more indebted to actual history. Like, it's really telling you the actual stories and telling you these are the things that we don't, you know, we don't quite know about history, but if you're really passionate about history, you will have discovered that the things that, you know, maybe people our age now had learned in school aren't quite right.
Right.
And, like later on, he goes to Mansa Musa and you know, you hear about African history. In the first episode, he talks to this pirate. I don't know her name.
A pirate queen, basically, from ancient China.
Yes. And tells about her story fighting the British. And so it's very international, and it's you know, really, it tells fun history stories, but also it has a guy getting crushed by a stone from Stonehenge, so it's got that Monty Python kind of irreverence to it.
Yeah, nobody's safe. I don't got it.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's been around for a while, but I had never really heard of him until he directed one of the Thor movies, and I think he was really responsible for Marvel. Like, I mean, I know they had Guardians of the Galaxy, but I felt like his first Thor movie, it gave Marvel a permission to not take itself so freaking seriously.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It was super goofy in places, but I really enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed everything else of his that I've seen. But I definitely need to check out Reservation Dogs, because you're like the first person who told me it was good, and I've had like five other people since then tell me I really need to watch it.
Yeah, and certainly I think that there's a lot of influence because there was a different creator. There's a Native American creator behind Reservation Dogs, but it does have a Taika Waititi feel to it.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of heart. It's a lot of silly and a lot of heart. And I think Terry Gilliam is probably missing a giant chunk of his heart for anybody who knows Monty Python history.
Yeah, he
might be a little bit heartless. And so to see Time Bandits injected with that level of heart is really lovely.
Yeah. Because
especially when we all grew up with the movies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the movie scared the hell out of me when I first saw it, but it was because I missed the beginning and I didn't realize that the parents were supposed to be awful and them being turned into two charred chunks of briquette was not the horrible thing that I was thinking it was. Although it's still horrible.
But. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And you guys were the ones who pointed out to me that that idea is, or you read somewhere that that's, you know, like every Disney movie starts out with the main character being orphaned. So it's almost like you're setting off at the beginning of a Disney story at the end of that movie.
Yeah. This is where most stories would begin.
Yeah.
Nice.
Only other thing we've been watching, other than a lot of Great British Bake Off, which is just wonderful comfort watching, Better Call Saul. Nathan and I got through the first three seasons and then kind of stopped. So we started with the first episode of the fourth season while we've been here. And it's really... It's just, I mean, to watch Saul go through all of this rationalization in his head, I think, and being his own worst enemy, but it still kind of has heart and empathy for people. It's so, so weird, but just so appealing.
Yeah, I think for me it's that I feel like you feel so attached to the character. I guess everybody was rooting for Walter White and then kind of in a step back would go, oh, God, he's awful.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now when you're rooting for Saul, you're like, oh, he's bad, but it's harder to step away because you're a little more in touch with him. I think he's a little bit more of a human than Walter White is, which is a weird thing to say, but it's like you see where he's of two minds about things and he keeps making the wrong decisions. And also they're giving you all this context as to why he's making the wrong decisions. And I find it really compelling. And also, the woman playing Kim Wexler is fantastic. And it's a love story in so much of a way that they've got great chemistry, the two of them. And to see Saul in love and to see the two of them together is like, oh, neither of you has great morals, but I really identify with that.
So how far had you gotten into the series when you watched it?
I watched the first season, and I got to the end where his brother tricks him, and he doesn't know that he's being recorded, and he uses his little utensil to shut it off. So, yeah.
Yes, and that's why, yes, and the brother is also like, he's... In a way, he's a good person, but also he's awful.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh, you should keep going because, with the end of the third season, there's a big plot point that won't be spoiled. But that was where Catherine and Nathan let off. And that was actually the last episode that Mom and Dad had gotten to.
Oh, nice.
So it was easy to just jump into the next one.
Yes. Nice. Well, the only other thing that I've been watching a lot of course, is Star Trek Lower Decks. Now, Hannah, have you watched any of that at all?
I haven't. So that is a sitcom-y?
It's an animated.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes.
It is. I think it's hilarious. I've finished up the third season, which I think was less like madcap funny than the first couple seasons, but it is still very clever, very, very funny, really super good-hearted. And it's all these deep pulls for not just Star Trek Next Generation. It's got a real Star Trek Next Generation look. Like they're not on the Enterprise. They're on a similar ship and they're the people. They're not the bridge crew. They're down in the lower decks and they do all the grunt work and everything. But they've pulled in a whole bunch of stuff from Enterprise, from Voyager, from Deep Space. They actually made a trip to Deep Space Nine, and all of the guest voices on there. So many guest voices. So it's really a love letter to Star Trek.
Yeah, and it really plays with stuff. I think it can appeal to people who hasn't watched a ton of Star Trek. But then it'll include things like if you've watched a bunch of Star Trek, it's even more funny. Like a brief vision of the far future where one of the main characters has a statue to him that completely misrepresents who the heck he was.
Right.
And then the person who's teaching this lesson about this very famous person says, and now we'll talk about another person that was even more famous, Miles O'Brien. And then the episode ends right there. And it's just like the whole idea about, Oh my God. He was like a tertiary character that kind of made secondary character.
Now
best.
I will stand up for O'Brien. He was not tertiary. He was in the main pictures. He was part of like the main six.
But it's just the idea that you've got Kirk and Picard and Miles O'Brien. It's just like one of those things. It's funny if you know the characters like that, because they do, and they don't bother to explain it too.
No. I will say yes. As I watched with you guys, got into Next Generation, and then I watched Deep Space Nine and got into Voyager. I will admit I had a crush on Neelix, so I don't know what's wrong with me. So I don't know.
I don't think
it was in high school. It was a very confusing time.
That's fine. Me, I had.
I also had a crush on Dr. Bashir.
I was just going to say Bashir. I totally was. Yeah. I wanted him and Dax to get together.
Yeah. So I definitely, yes, I love the Easter eggs. I think that feels, because I think even at that point, I remember, I think my friend John, who you guys know, I kept trying to be like, oh, did you watch Deep Space Nine? He'd be like, no, I don't really watch that. I'm like, don't have anybody to talk to about this TV show.
And this was in the before times, before Facebook Messenger. So yes. Much harder to reach out to people to talk about the stuff that you were enthusiastic about.
Facebook groups, I could have been,
God, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, so I think, so now I'm about ready to start on the fourth season, and then that'll be it. I think a fifth season is coming out pretty soon, but man, I am just blowing through these episodes. And then I don't think any episode is even longer than like 35 minutes at most.
What is it on?
Quick watches. Paramount.
Oh, shit. Well, then send me your login. I think you owe me that.
Yes, too much streaming services, darn it.
Yeah, seriously. But I guess that'll wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. No photo galleries right now. I think I have another episode of Saga coming up, which if I can get my ass in gear on this, I will actually do a review of it. Finally. all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So next week, I think we'll have a Night Vale episode.
We should. Yep.
Okay. Time is weird. And thank you, Hannah, for coming on the episode.
Yay! Thank you for having me. Yay. Always an honor.
I'm so glad we were able to make technology compromise and allow us to do this recording on
our will.
On the second attempt.
Yes. Yes. Oh, thank you to Nathan for loaning us the iPad and the headphones for this one.
Yes.
To make it work so we could all record together without having the ghostly voice of Elizabeth appear on our recording.
Wait, she's not here?
No. But one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.